Hi, Natasha.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
Great, thank you. So I was intrigued by this, these words from the Treasurer today. Quite a lot of questions. What does retraining at 60 or above effectively mean?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Look, employers need to get better at retaining their older workers and realising the true value that they actually bring to an organisation. But more importantly, Emma, they need to avoid both conscious and unconscious bias around age, which is still very common, and training is key here. But one challenge that we have got today is that 80% of training has been completed for most workers in the workplace by the age of 21. So we need to become lifelong learners. And I have seen training strategies, initiatives and budgets decimated over the last 20 years. And this is also, in my view, caused the tightest applicant market in 20 years. So we need to introduce training for older workers to get them the skills that they need, but also for the rest of the workplace so that we can reduce that bias. And I'd be a big fan of introducing something like Keating's policy, which was the training guarantee levy back in the early 90s, where a percentage of your payroll has to be spent on training your workers.
Right, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Now, I'd imagine there's a lot of people in this age group who would just love to keep working. They feel fit, they feel able to, but they can't because the jobs just aren't there. What areas do you think we're talking about here in terms of what to train for? The future is coming upon us so rapidly and changing so fast.
Yeah, look, I think the jobs are there, and I'll go into what I think where those jobs are. But, you know, I think the interesting challenge for us is that there was a recent Human Rights Commission survey that found that 27% of older workers experienced overt discrimination. In my experience, the majority of older workers want to stay in the workplace, and they largely due to the fact that they can't actually afford to retire, Emma, and they still feel that they have a lot to contribute. And many older workers feel that they're being pushed out of the workforce, which is interesting because 83% of respondents wanted to see their organisation take steps to retain older workers. But the key areas in particular is the health services. As you would know, we've got massive pressure on our health services, and this is also from a resourcing perspective. So we don't have enough health workers, and there are some systemic issues in that area that need to be addressed. For example, making it easier for overseas workers to come into the marketplace. And, you know, we've got clients who are crying out for employees with way too much work in the NDIS system and not enough resources to actually fill those needs.
You're listening to Evenings on ABC Sydney, Canberra and New South Wales. Natasha Hawker's here, Director of the HR firm Employee Matters. And we're talking about the Treasurer's comments today that he'd like older people, as they're sort of approaching their 50s and, you know, towards the age of 60, to start retraining for jobs of the future and consider working sort of beyond the age you're entitled to a pension, maybe even up to age 65, 67, 68 or beyond. And he's encouraging Australians to retrain to make them equipped for the jobs of the future. So if you're in a job that could be heading towards becoming redundant, Natasha, what should you be looking at doing?
Well, I think you need to keep your skills current, and it's back to that lifelong learner. And the reality is, Emma, that we're living much longer, and we're going to continue to do so with it. Life expectancies going from 81 or now to 81 for males and 85 for females. And I think that that 60 is the new 50. And I, for one, know many vibrant 60-year-olds, including my squash buddy, who at 72 still plays squash, a mean game of squash, and rides a horse. And society needs to change our view on what old age is now. I think that's changed, and we need to remove that ageism. My aunt's 71. She's still teaching at primary school. She's a valued, effective, and popular teacher, and her principal doesn't want her to retire. So I think my call to your older workers is embrace the fact that you're going to work for longer, but make sure that you are a lifelong learner and you're looking to keep training and upskilling your skills. You know, that's absolutely critical.
1300 222 702 is the number. I'd love to hear your experiences with retirement or trying to retrain, perhaps trying to find work. And are you still working and loving it? Maybe you know someone who's still working into their late 60s, 70s, or even their 80s. Give us a call, 1300 222 702, or you can text 0467 922 702. Natasha Hawker's with me, Director for the HR firm Employee Matters. Natasha, for some people, it's not realistic to keep working in certain fields. Some jobs are very taxing on the body, for example. How do you transition from a job where you've been using your body a lot to other areas? Can you think of some examples?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. The Human Rights Commission found that 30% of organisations won't hire people over 50. And so we've got discrimination here. But what I'm finding is a lot of older workers are finding themselves out of a job either because of that physicality issue earlier than they would like. And they become self-employed cab drivers. But I also know another great business called Silver and Wise, and they help employees that have experienced ageism to actually start their own businesses in something that they're passionate about. And these employees are hugely experienced, savvy, and they're reinventing themselves as business owners and entrepreneurs. But definitely the health industry has roles, and there are a number of other roles that are growing, but hospitality is another one that has roles. So there's plenty of other, roles in our organisations that we have evolve over time, and technology changes the roles that are available, but there is always roles for people who want to work.
1300 222 702 if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm thinking, Natasha, I heard recently that the highest proportion of people on Newstart are actually over 55. Mm-hmm. Is there something we can do there with people who are looking for work? Is there, like you're talking about the, Keating's policy before about the training guarantee, is there something that could be done with Newstart, or are there already programs in effect that you know of?
Look, there are programs available. You can get a fund from the government if you hire somebody who's over, I think it's 50 or 55, which seems way too young from my point of view, Emma. I'm not sure how old you are. 45, yeah. But I think we're just not getting it. My view is that these older workers have enormous skills, experience, and the ability to train up our younger workforce. And I think what we've done typically is you work all full-time right up till you retire, and then you retire. And we've not done a great job in transitioning our workers out of their jobs. So, there is an opportunity for us to transition people out so that they do projects or they do part-time work or they do mentoring work. I think there's a great opportunity to do something that I've called dual mentoring, where you buddy up older and younger workers for a skills transfer that's managed within a framework. And imagine the loss of knowledge capital that walks out the door when someone's retired or their role has been made redundant, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and those skills and experience can deliver competitive advantage to a business if we're just able to tap into that and think about that a bit more carefully than what we currently are.
It's interesting you talk about flexibility. I think we're getting better at talking about flexibility for people in that new parent stage of life, men and women. There's a few developments happening there. Do you think we need to be a little bit more aware that some people might be wanting to transition into retirement and go part-time for maybe years?
Absolutely. And the Treasurer talked about employers offering more flexibility, and I have to say I totally agree with him on this. Flexibility is the number one attractor for candidates to an organisation, and that's regardless of their age. But we need to get smarter about it. We still see way too many older workers working that full-time right up to retirement, and then there's nothing. So we don't effectively transition those older workers into that part of their life. So we need to think more carefully about how can we use that skill. When you think about the knowledge that it's taken, the years that it's taken to get that knowledge, and then hundreds of thousands of dollars that have just walked out the door. So we need to be smarter about how we transition those people out of the workplace at the end of their careers.
What about people who see this as an opportunity? What if there's something you've always wanted to do and you've got a bit of a passion? Do you think it's a good idea to go a totally different direction?
Absolutely. I think that most of the entrepreneurs that I hang out with now have typically had corporate, very successful corporate careers, and then they transition. So I myself worked part-time while I started Employee Matters, and that enabled me to get some funding in there to keep it going. So I think there's an enormous opportunity for people. You know, there's nothing stopping business owners or potential business owners to start a business. All you need is a laptop and a phone these days. So I think, you know, build a great business idea, start to test it, start to build a business plan, and there's an opportunity for people to transition into their passion project at that time of their life.
1-300-222-702 is the number to call. And just as Neil's done. Hi, Neil.
Hi there.
Hello. Now, how are you going in this sort of space? Have you been looking at retraining?
Not so much retraining. I have some skills already. I have qualifications as in a degree in mechanical engineering, a degree in marketing, and a diploma in adult education. I previously worked in the motor industry and was sort of made redundant. Position sort of worked out, you know, so you worked to, there was no position anymore for you, you know. But it's very difficult getting back in that field. And I can get the interviews, I'll have multiple interviews, meetings, do presentations. And everything like that. And then it'll be, look, we've decided to promote somebody internally, or, you know, and all these sorts of things. Or the position we've put on hold, and we'll make a decision later in the year or something like that. You hear nothing.
So, Neil, how old are you? Don't mind me asking.
I'm 65.
Yeah, so you're right in this zone that the Treasurer is targeting and saying he wants you to keep on going. Do you think, do you think you can keep on going if it's not in something that you want to do, though?
Oh, well, I am. I drive buses for state transport.
Yep.
So I'm just getting, I'm on my way home at the present moment after starting at 7 o'clock.
Wow.
That's
a pretty big skill. Did you have to learn how to drive a bus? That's skilling up.
Yeah, well, I guess it is.
Yeah.
It's actually one of those stressful jobs.
Yeah. Go on.
I'm one of those people that I'm prepared to do anything, you know?
Yep.
Nothing daunts me if that's kind of...
Thanks so much for calling, Neil. Natasha, interesting what you said then, driving a bus, pretty stressful job. And it's funny how you didn't see that as reskilling, but, you know, learning to drive a bus, hugely reskilling.
Exactly, and it is one of the most stressful jobs you can have. It's in the top 10. And it's an interesting situation with Neil, because my view is that it's not Neil that's got the problem, it's the employers that have got the problem. So given his engineering and marketing and adult education background, I would see that he would have some great skills, but I think he's up against ageism, and that's the challenge. We need to reset the way people are thinking about what the value is and how we resource businesses for success. And, you know, capability is a big part of that.
Neil talked about getting right to the pointy end of these job interview processes, whereas even doing presentations for people, which means that they are considering him. What's going on? You know, why is he getting so close? You think it's just all about bias?
I think there's part of its bias. The other thing that I would say is that most people are never taught how to do interviews, both from the interviewer and the interviewee side of things. I would highly recommend anyone in Neil's situation is they go and get some interview coaching and skills so that they can manage those tricky questions effectively, so that they can convince the person that's sitting across the other side of the table that taking Neil on is a very sensible thing to do, and not only that it's going to add enormous value. When you can talk about what your return on investment for hiring Neil is, then that becomes a compelling proposition for them to consider.
1-300-222-702 is the number. Thanks so much for that, Neil. Thanks, all the best with it. And John's here. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, good, thank you. How old are you and what sort of work are you in?
I'm a nurse. I'm 64. And you talk of retraining, and I'd just like to shine a light on the other side of retirement. I've been a youth worker in my life. I was an electrician. I've been an engineer, and I've been nursing now for 20 years. And I'm broken. I could not think of anything worse than working past retirement age.
Yeah, especially if it keeps moving. So you've had this age in your mind, and now the Treasurer's going... Oh, come on. A few more years, John. You can give us another 5 years.
It's like the carrot at the end of the stick.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some reward there, but they just keep moving it further away. And as a nurse, most of my cohort is carrying some type of injury or osteoarthritis, as I have. My partner also has rheumatoid arthritis. She's a nurse, and she's battling to get to work each day. Her hands can't even pull the bed sheets.
Yeah. Interesting point there from John. Natasha, what's wrong with retiring and, you know, having a rest and enjoying,
Nothing's wrong with it, but I think obviously you need to be able to afford to do it. But
yeah.
Again, I come back to how do we use John and his partner more effectively?
Mm.
The knowledge that he has sitting in his head from 20 years, let's get him off the tools. Let's get him coaching, mentoring, developing, training. He talked about the fact that he's done youth work. Why isn't he mentoring and developing and bringing on our younger nurses that are coming into the environment now where it's not so physical, but he's using his skills and expertise and transferring that skills and expertise? That's where the true value of, you know, fully utilising John's experience is.
Would you be up for that, John?
No.
No. No. John's done. John's done his time.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not going to be for everyone. You know, some people have had very full careers and they're ready to get out, and that's absolutely fine. But some people don't have that choice financially, or some people actually don't want to do that. I know a lot of people who are business owners who go, I don't want to ever retire. This is my passion. It's business is my passion. I don't actually see retirement in my life plan. So, you know, it's different people, but we need that flexibility for everyone.
We're talking about retraining for the jobs of the future, especially as you approach around the age of 60, looking at working into your mid to late 60s. And we should reinforce this if you want to. If you don't have to work, if you've managed to save enough for your retirement, if you can live comfortably on the pension once you reach pension age, by all means, you know, take it. This is for people who are wanting to work a bit longer, isn't it, Tasha?
Exactly.
Yep.
My father retired at 52 as a director of a merchant bank and sailed around the world with money. That was what he wanted to do.
Nice.
And then he dabbled in his own business. He had a yacht brokerage.
Yeah.
But he had choice.
Yes.
And I think, you know, we've got more choice than it's never been a better time, you know, to have that choice. As I said, all you need is a computer and a phone to start a business, and away you go and find what you're passionate about, because people buy what you're passionate about. They won't buy what you're not interested in.
Melissa's here. She's calling us from Western New South Wales. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Hi, great. Thanks. What did you want to say about this?
Yes, look, that's very interesting. I'm just following up from the previous call.
David, yeah.
So I just happened to hear that Natasha's dad retired at 52, which is exactly the age that I'm at. I'm in Western New South Wales. I stopped working a couple of years ago and sort of thought that that's what I wanted to do. A couple of years down the track, I've actually thought, no, I'm totally bored and I really want to get back into the workforce. I have found it incredibly difficult, particularly in a regional rural town, to find employment at my age. I have got a university degree. I've worked in marketing, food and nutrition management. I've worked in training and assessing. I've worked in aged care. I've worked in a whole range of industries, and I'm just finding that that I'm not valued for the skills, knowledge and experience. And I actually used to train people on how to find jobs, and I'm finding I can't find one for myself.
Natasha, we're getting story after story like this of people trying their hardest and not getting a bite. What do you say to Melissa and other people who are really wanting to get back out there?
I think ask the difficult questions, number one, so that your recruiter has to tell you exactly why, because actually age discrimination is illegal in Australia. It is illegal to discriminate against someone on the basis of age. What I was listening to with Melissa is, Melissa, why don't you start your own business and actually teach people what you know? Maybe coach people in that food and nutrition space. Aged care I'm surprised about, because there is so much need in that space. And obviously, off the back of the Royal Commission that's happening at the moment, they have a number of standards that they actually have to adhere to, and a lot of that is around HR. So I think you're going to see some changes in that space over time. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think there will be potentially some opportunity that comes out of that aged care sector for you, either in that nutrition space or in any other areas that you've got to offer in that space.
Does that help a bit, Melissa?
Well, yes, a little bit. I do actually have my own small business. It's actually a garden design and planning business, but we've been in drought for the last 3 or 4 years, so it's quite difficult in our area. I have recently got some part-time work in as a program support officer. That's only casual, though, and I'm not really sure that that's particularly the area that I wanted to go into, but I've put out so many applications and received so many knockbacks that I've just taken something just because I really want to get back into the workforce in some area. I mean, I definitely am interested in that area, but I guess I would really have probably liked to go into an area where I was professionally trained in that sort of stuff. So.
The other suggestion I have, Melissa, is it's always a good, as I said, if you have the opportunity to go in and offer to volunteer in an organisation that you might like to work with, and then that takes down the barriers of you on a blank piece of paper or just with your CV, and just, you know, I'd like to volunteer my services and then end up getting potentially some work. So my brother-in-law volunteered his services as a chef in a homeless shelter, and now he's a paid employee in that shelter. So I just use that as an example of that ability to potentially be seen as you, your skills, and what you bring, the value that you bring, rather than you know, just some text on a paper, which you're going to get discriminated against more often than not, which is a sad place that we are.
Good luck, Melissa.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
A couple of people are pointing out, Natasha, that actually superannuation and workers' comp stop at age 65. What do you say about that?
Look, I think the government, with Josh Frydenberg's announcement today, they need to step up. They need to build out some policies that are going to support this. They need to encourage employers to actually do the right thing here, and there are going to be potentially some changes to workers' comp and superannuation as a result of that. You know, I think we, whilst we have discrimination around age, we need to get better at how do you retain and rewarding those employers that actually train and retain their older workers. Come up with a program like that dual mentoring. Make sure we've got five generations in the workforce for the first time ever at the moment, and that's what's known as a multi-generational workforce. Now, it does cause friction in organisations, but those organisations that actually harness the differences around mindset, skills, perspective, experience will outperform their competitors every time. So I just think we need to get, as a country, as an employer, as a government, get much more creative about how we're going to resource the workforce of the future.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I think, it's been a really interesting discussion. You can see there's, like you said, there's a lot of bias out there still, which is might be one of the biggest obstacles that we need to overcome. But thanks so much, Natasha.
My pleasure. I hope your listeners get their jobs they so rightly deserve.
Natasha Hawker there, director of the HR firm Employee Matters, and she's also the author of From Hire to Fire and Everything in Between.